Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a man in his 80s, identified locally as Michael Toland of Anna Clonmany, was fatally struck by a van near his home in North Inishowen yesterday. A Donegal TD has called on the government to introduce a state-funded childcare system. Meanwhile, up to 40% of childcare facilities in Donegal may be forced to close due to the defective concrete block crisis. And finally, Hezbollah says the detonation of communication devices in Beirut could be a declaration of war. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport and Chris Ashmore will have all the farming news and views. First in news, a man in his 80s, identified locally as Michael Toland of Anna Clonmany, was fatally struck by a van near his home in North Inishowen yesterday. The collision occurred at around 20 past six, marking the third road fatality in Donegal within 2 weeks. The road between Clonmany and Ballyliffin has since reopened. Authorities are appealing to anyone who may have witnessed the incident or have dashcam footage to contact Buncrana Garda Station. Gaherlach of Inishowen MD, Councillor Jack Murray, offered his condolences to Mr Toland's family.
Sadly, once again, we're all waking to the news of another tragedy on our roads, and there's another grieving family and other communities being shattered, and just everybody across Inishowen is devastated. We're thinking of the family at this extremely difficult time, and as always, as we've had so many tragedies, I know the community in Inishowen will rally together, give whatever supports are needed, but at this time, just the family of this man are in our thoughts and prayers for the day.
And this will be an extremely difficult time for the entire Inishowen Peninsula, given it's just a matter of weeks on from other fatal collisions in the area.
Yeah, and this is an area that's not been immune from tragedies. We've seen so many on our roads, and look, at every tragedy brings its own consequences. It brings its own family that will grieve, and we're just conscious. Everybody's been touched by these awful tragedies that have happened so many times in Inishowen. And look, our thoughts and prayers with his family now at an extremely, extremely difficult and tragic time.
A Donegal TD has called on government to introduce a state-funded childcare system. Deputy Thomas Pringle emphasised the increasing cost of childcare and its burden on Donegal families during a dull speech. He argued that the current private sector model is unsustainable, and he urged the government to take the lead in providing affordable childcare. Deputy Pringle shared personal stories of constituents facing difficulties balancing work and childcare expenses, highlighting the urgent need for reform.
In this economy, two incomes are needed to make ends meet, and most parents are forced to work in order to get by, leaving them with no choice but to put their children into childcare. They are then faced with a lack of available childcare, particularly if their child has any additional needs, and punished with extortionate childcare fees. Over the last few days, I've been talking to many constituents of mine in Donegal about the childcare challenges they face. One constituent had to go to another county to access childcare for their child, while another described how there are no SNAs available for the child with additional needs in any of the nearby childcare facilities. They said, "My partner and myself have to work full-time to pay bills and live. It's a constant battle with services and lack of them and never-ending worry. People feel that they are paying the equivalent of a second mortgage in a time when the housing crisis has seen house prices and therefore mortgage repayments skyrocket, as well as rent." Another constituent described how they are paying €450 a week for childcare in Donegal for two kids. It is shocking to hear people's stories, and unfortunately the minister is happy to let parents blame childcare providers whose hands are tied in many instances, because the increase in the subsidies has actually been written off by the increase in cost of childcare. I spoke to one manager who described having no choice but to increase prices due to costs, just one of which was €5,000 a month for food. We need to accept that the real issue lies with the department, and there is a real need for Ireland to introduce public childcare for everyone at a fair cost.
Meanwhile, up to 40% of childcare facilities in Donegal may be forced to close due to the defective concrete block crisis. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty raised concerns about the impact on community playgroups in Raphoe, Letterkenny and Ardrah, all of whom are affected by defective concrete, during a dull debate with Minister Roderick O'Gorman. He says there's been a lack of progress, despite Taoiseach Simon Harris promising on Highland Radio earlier this year that he would engage with the Department of Housing and Children to see if a solution could be found for childcare facilities. Minister O'Gorman announced that funding is being developed to support emergency repairs at childcare facilities, but Deputy Doherty argued that this falls short of the necessary measures.
Your funding capital funding? Well, we haven't seen it, so we haven't seen the criteria, but you describe it as critical fire safety works and other emergency capital projects, both internal and external. Do you understand what's happening with these buildings? These buildings are going to be demolished in their entirety. Big JCBs are going to come in. They're going to tear them to the ground. They have to. The blocks are rotten. They're crumbling. This isn't fire doors or issues in terms of escapes, the type of scheme which is welcome that you've talked about. There is a separate funding stream that is required as a result of deleterious materials. It is as a result of light touch and no touch regulation. The core issue is being ignored by your department. We've had these conversations with the operators. You're telling them, oh, there's a scheme here that's the same scheme for a private operator that needs fire stops in their doors. That's just bonkers. When will REFO have clarity that they can build the playgroup that they owned from top to bottom, or Letterkenny or Ardara? Because it's not good enough that they're left in limbo. One playgroup has been told that it's going to cost €1 million to rebuild their premises. Will your fund allow them to build their premises for €1 million? Will there be 100% grant aid available to those premises? Is that what you're talking about? Because if it's not, then that's just waffle to their ears. Letterkenny told you 5 years ago that their building was falling. REFO are already out of it, and Ardara are going to have got a clock that is about 6 months, and there are many, many others.
Well, Minister for Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, Roderick O'Gorman, says that the new scheme recognises the need for flexibility in schemes to fund other works.
Until this year, the sole capital funding coming from my department in terms of early year services was for the building of new services or extension to existing services. My department and I as Minister have recognised that there are a need in situations, not fire safety doors, but in situations when major work has to take place on a service, that we need a fund to support that in terms of community services. And the situations that you've outlined, where we're going to have to see a complete rebuild, fall within those categories. And that's why we're devising this new capital funding scheme. We're working on it. We will be in a position in the near future to be able to provide details to services like the ones you've outlined, Deputy.
And you can hear that full exchange on our website, highlandradio.com. Hezbollah says the detonation of communication devices in Beirut could be a declaration of war. It's as Israeli jets strike targets in southern Lebanon. The number of people killed after pagers and handheld radio devices exploded across Lebanon has risen to 37. Iran has described the explosions in Beirut as Israeli terrorism. Tánaiste Mícheál Martin has reiterated the Department of Foreign Affairs' appeal for all Irish citizens to come back.
We know that is challenging for people because many people are Irish citizens who are in Lebanon and have been there a long time and have family ties and so forth. But we believe it's in their best interests to leave Lebanon, and we've been saying that consistently.
A 22-year-old man was arrested in Derry today in connection with suspected drug offences. The arrest allowed a joint operation by the Paramilitary Crime Task Force, the Derry City and Strabane District Support Team and local tactical support group officers. The operation targeted drug criminality linked to the INLA. During the searches of four locations, authorities seized items believed to be cocaine, cash, electronic devices and drug paraphernalia. These items will now undergo further examination. The Oireachtas Committee on Drug Use has been hearing submissions from the Irish College of GPs and the Irish Pharmacy Union. They've been discussing the potential for decriminalisation and legalisation of drugs in Ireland. Tom Murray from the Irish Pharmacy Union, who hails from Donegal, gave this submission in his opening address.
Acute and chronic health problems are associated with the use of illicit drugs, which include acute issues such as the risk of overdose and death, to chronic health issues, including long-term drug dependence and infections such as hepatitis C and HIV. These health problems can be compounded by factors such as the properties of the substance being used, the route of administration, individual vulnerability, and the social context in which the drugs are consumed.
Housing construction in Donegal has seen a significant increase this year. The number of new housing starts in the county rose by 53% during the first 8 months of 2024 when compared to the previous year. A total of 762 notices of intent to build or convert buildings for residential use were issued, up from 498 in the same time period of 2023. In August alone, 33 such notices were issued. The number of people employed in the Letterkenny Labour catchment area has surged by 19% according to recent data. This growth has positioned Letterkenny as the third largest employment hub in the western region. The WDC's latest report has revealed that rural areas of Donegal, Northern Ireland and the Ballybofeister Northern area are also attracting a significant number of workers from the Letterkenny region. Deirdre Frost, a WDC policy analyst, has underscored the importance of this information for planning Letterkenny's future development. She says the data suggests a strong demand for housing, infrastructure and services to accommodate the expanding workforce.
One of the primary audiences for this type of work is yourselves and local employers to know what's happening on the ground, but also national policymakers. So this report will be sent to key officials in, for example, the Department of Housing and Planning, who are looking at the National Planning Framework, and various other departments to help them understand what's happening, as you say, on the ground in terms of the growth and the need for more investment in infrastructure.
The Department of Education is launching a programme to document the lived experiences of modern-day students. It's expected to be introduced into schools at the beginning of 2025 and will allow young people to share stories of their school and community experiences for future generations. It's part of the department's 100th anniversary celebrations and is inspired by a similar time capsule project from the 1930s. Education Minister Norma Foley says it will be open to all schools and there will be lots of ways to take part.
There is something lovely to see the handwork and the handwriting of the students. If students are in a position to do that and record it in a written format, that would be very acceptable. But I'm also very mindful, you know, that other students may have difficulty doing that, or they may appreciate being able to communicate using technology of today, or whatever the case might be. We're not going to be prescriptive.
The time's now coming up to 12 minutes past five. We're going to go for a short break and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's just gone 5:15 here in Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Anna-Marie. Good evening. We'll begin with soccer, and Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta insists he has no problem with the number of games in the expanded Champions League format. They begin their campaign in Italy tonight when they face Atalanta. The new league phase system has teams playing two extra fixtures, but Arteta says it's something they just have to deal with.
The reason why we changed the format is obviously for all the football fans and all the people that love the sport, you know, and to give a better product, more entertainment. And now we have to deliver it, especially the players have to deliver. So let's see how it goes.
Arsenal's clash with the Europa League champions kicks off at 8. Elsewhere at 8, Atletico Madrid play RB Leipzig. Champions League debutants Brest host Sturm Graz. And Monaco entertain European giants Barcelona. There's a 5:45 start in Belgrade where Red Star play Benfica, and German champions Bayer Leverkusen are away to Feyenoord. Well, after a turbulent month, Dundalk's players will go unpaid again this week despite John Temple's takeover of the Premier Division club. It's been reported Temple told the squad this morning that he needs more time to sort out his financial arrangements. However, he has assured the players that they will be fully paid up to the end of the season. In golf, it was a very good opening day at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth for both Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. Both shot opening rounds of 67 in contrasting fashion, as Dennis Kerwin reports.
Wentworth is a course that suits certain players, and among them are Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, who opened their bid to win the DP World Tour's flagship event for a second time with a superb round of 67. The pair are two shots behind the first round leader, England's Matthew Baldwin, who birdied the last for a superb round of 65, and one behind Denmark's Nicholas Norgaard, who fired in a 66. McIlroy had 7 birdies and 2 bogeys in an eventful opening round that included a backhanded putt, a snap hook drive on 17, an out of bounds approach on the 18th, and the head came off his 9-iron with his 179-yard approach to the par 5 12th, but his ball still ended up 7 feet from the pin. He two-putted for a birdie.
Yeah, it was just one of those things, I think, but it was actually the head detaching from the shaft, so, and thankfully the ball went where I wanted it to. It could have been a lot worse. Thankfully got it repaired and, you know, it should be okay to go tomorrow.
In contrast, Shane Lowry had an uneventful 67. He reached the turn and won under par, made a 26-foot putt for eagle on the 12th and birdied the last for a very pleasing day's work.
I played some great golf again, and, you know, it's nice to come to a place that you know pretty well and have done well in the past. And yeah, I feel comfortable around here, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Tom McKibben signed for a 2-under par round of 70. Padraig Harrington had a 71, while Simon Thornton opened with a 74 at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Our golf coverage is with Halpiny Golf, top brands, best prices. Elsewhere, Leona Maguire currently holds a one-stroke lead on the opening day of the Queen City Championship, aided by an eagle at the par 5 sixth. Maguire is 5-under par. In horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall was in the winner's enclosure once again this afternoon at Nace. The Letterkenny jockey was on board the MD O'Callaghan trained Tommy McJohn and won the 3.25 handicap after going off as the 10-3 favourite. It is a continuation of a big week for Dylan, who took a Group 1 winner on Sunday at Champions Weekend and then hit the 300 winners milestone on Tuesday. We'll hear from Dylan on tonight's Score programme after the 7 o'clock news. Also on that show, Joe Boyle joins us for our weekly League of Ireland chat, and Peter Doherty will look ahead to the President's Cup final meeting of Cockhill Celtic and Enniskillen Rangers on Saturday. In Gaelic games, Donegal have 7 players in this year's GAA All-Star nominations. The 7 are goalkeeper Sean Patton, defenders Pater Mogan, Ryan McHugh, Caelan McGonigal and Brendan McCall, along with midfielder Michael Langan and forward Oisin Gallen. Kieran Moore has been named as one of 3 nominations in the Young Footballer of the Year category, while Armagh's Barry McCambridge is hot favourite to be named Footballer of the Year after he was nominated alongside Galway pair Paul Conroy and John Maher. All-Ireland champions Armagh have 11 nominations from the list of 45, with beaten finalists Galway receiving 8 nominations. Dara Canavan and Niall Morgan are the 2 Tyrone nominations. In snooker, Mark Allen plays John Higgins in the last 16 of the English Open this evening. The first of 4 frames will advance to the quarterfinals. And finally, in rugby, having missed Ireland's summer tour of South Africa, Jameson Gibson-Park returns to action for Leinster tomorrow. He's been named at scrum half for their opening URC fixture of the season away to Edinburgh. There's a first Leinster start for hooker Gus McCarthy, and Cian Healy will reach a special milestone if introduced off the bench. The prop will equal Devon Toner's record of 280 appearances for the province. And following a pre-season trial, Corey Barrett has signed a 1-season deal with Ulster. The prop began his career in the Ulster pathway, but has played in recent seasons for Saracens, Bedford and Doncaster. That's all your sport for now, but don't forget to tune into The Score with Oisin Kelly between 7 and 8 this evening. Back to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. For weather now, it's dry and sunny with highest temperatures of 20 to 23 degrees. And tonight that will be dry with mostly clear skies. Mist and fog patches will form. That's with lowest temperatures of 7 to 11 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, a man in his 80s, identified locally as Michael Toland of Anna Clonmany, was fatally struck by a van near his home in North Inishowen. The collision occurred at around 20 past 6 yesterday evening, marking the 3rd road fatality in Donegal within 2 weeks. A Donegal TD has called on the government to introduce a state-funded childcare system. Deputy Thomas Pringle emphasised the increasing cost of childcare and its burden on Donegal families during a dull speech. He argued that the current private sector model is unsustainable and urged the government to take the lead in providing an affordable alternative. Meanwhile, up to 40% of childcare facilities in Donegal may be forced to close due to defective concrete. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty raised concerns about the impact on community playgroups in Raphoe, Letterkenny and Ardrah, all of whom are affected by defective concrete during a dull debate with Minister Roderick O'Gorman. And finally, Hezbollah says the detonation of communication devices in Beirut could be a declaration of war. It's as Israeli jets strike targets in southern Lebanon. Tánaiste Micheál Martin has reiterated the Department of Foreign Affairs' appeal for all Irish citizens to leave Lebanon. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. We'll be back again with headlines at 6. Farming news and views will be up with Chris Ashmore just after the obituary notices. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, September 19th. The death has taken place of Michael Toland, Anna Clonmany. Michael's remains will repose at his home from 6 p.m. tonight. Funeral leaving from there on Saturday at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church Clonmany for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. Burial afterwards in the new cemetery. Family flowers only, please. House private from 10 p.m. till 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv.
The death has taken place of Jean McElwee, Ní Doherty, 29, Ardnalee Park, Strabane, and formerly of Drumminy, Burndennet, reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 20 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church Clocker at 12 noon, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about a surge in credit union loans to farmers. I've been speaking with Joe Healy, the chairperson of Cultivate Credit Union and a former IFA president. But first this evening, as you may have heard, there will be new schools of veterinary medicine for both the Atlantic Technology University, that's the ATU, and the Southeast Technological University, known as CTU, with intakes expected from next year. The ATU facility will be located across the Donegal campuses and Mount Bellew in Galway, while the CTU campus will be in Kilkenny. Now, the new courses, which are the first outside of University College Dublin since the 1970s, are expected to result in an additional 80 vet graduates per year. €50 million has been set aside to advance both projects. The Minister for Higher Education, Patrick O'Donovan, and Taoiseach Simon Harris made an official announcement alongside Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, at the National Ploughing Championships yesterday. Well, credit unions are seeing a record demand for farming loans, and according to the Cultivate Credit Union's lending review for the first 6 months of 2024, the demand, well, up something in the region of a third on last year. Joe Healy is the chairperson of Cultivate Credit Union and, of course, a former IFA president, well known to many of our listeners here in Donegal. Joe, these figures, they're quite startling, and I suppose they show what a success the Cultivate loan has been.
Yeah, and look, it's great to be working so closely with farmers. I think I said to you before, Chris, that when I was president of MOCRA, access to finance was a big issue for farmers. And 25 years later, as president of IFA, access to finance was still a big issue. So four credit unions in Galway approached me back then just to talk about developing some sort of a loan package that would be suitable and accessible and flexible for farmers. So we got involved with them with the IFA. And it started off from that those four credit unions in Galway. We have about 55 credit unions now, offering it in almost 180 locations around the country. And there's a huge focus on farmer-friendly finance and quick loan approval times. And, you know, I'm a farmer myself, and if I go looking for finance, a few things that I love to get is something that's local, that's quick, that's simple, that's flexible and personal, and the credit unions tick all those boxes. And, you know, farmers are voting with their feet, as you rightly pointed out there at the opening, was you know, year on year for the first 6 months, our loan applications are up 33%. If you compare them to the previous year, they're up double. And, you know, a continuing steady growth of 15 to 20% in our dry stock sector, but a huge growth from dairy farmers year on year. That's the loan applications from dairy farmers are up 63%. So,
and looking at the figures, I see the average loan amount has also grown. It's now in the region of €38,000. And also of interest, the loan term, that has lengthened a little bit as well.
It has, yeah. That has gone up to 74 months, I think, which I suppose overall, you know, is still only 6 years. And like, I'd always encourage farmers, you know, not to put themselves under extreme pressure to try and get loans paid off. You know, to do it where it's comfortable for them. And I think, you know, with the credit unions, there's no early exit fees. So, you know, we'd be encouraging them to give themselves enough time. And if they want to pay it off, you know, a year early, 2 years early, well, there's no penalty concerned with that. So the term has increased, and as you said, the average loan now, but the averages can be, I suppose, dangerous at times because they cover a huge range from, you know, 5,000 up to 75,000 for the unsecured, and then, you know, the credit unions that's offering up to 300,000 are outside that's the secured loan.
Yeah, now maybe a danger warning also. The review revealing 80% of farmers had an off-farm income. Again, that can vary hugely.
It can, and it varies. Like 88% of the average, as you rightly say, is the 80%. That varies from 88% on the beef farms to 52% on the dairy farms. But I think that, you know, Chris, when you look even beyond the agricultural sector, it's fair to say that there is a second income coming into most houses, regardless of what they're involved in anymore. You know, and from a farmer's point of view, you know, it's a great comfort to have for a lot of the farms, that second income coming into the house.
Yeah. So, Joe, what are the most popular purposes for the Cultivate loans? What are the main areas that people want them for?
Look, the likes of the tractor or farm equipment is a big area, probably somewhere in the region of 28-29%. You have farm buildings, then probably close on another 20% of the loans. Farm land would account for 7%. You know, so there's stocking and working capital. So what I'd always say to farmers is make sure, you know, the credit unions now through Cultivate are a real and serious player in the market. Contact the local person because, you know, when you apply to the local credit union, well, then there's a loan officer that's attached to you and they see it right through to the end. And what they can also do, if you give them permission to talk directly with your accountant or your agri consultant, the credit union can do that, and it cuts out kind of the time lag that might be the credit involved in the credit union coming to the farmer and the farmer going to the accountant. You know, when the credit union can talk directly with the accountant, that helps with speeding up the loan approval.
And finally, Joe, you're at a sun-kissed National Ploughing Championships. Incredible weather, big numbers, and you've bumped into a few Donegal faces over the days?
Well, I've always said they're probably the best people to never consider a journey are Donegal people, because I don't think I've ever been anywhere that I haven't bumped into numerous Donegal people, and this is no different. And look, I think, in fairness to anyone that has attended the ploughing this year, compared with a few years ago in 2018 when we had the storm, and I remember the year before that there was incredible rain, this year is like having the National Ploughing on a foreign sun holiday. It's just incredible.
You always have a finger on the pulse. What the overall atmosphere, the mood, what's your sense of people's feelings looking ahead?
Many parts of the country, Chris, you know, hope that this good, suitable grass-growing weather will continue because, you know, an awful lot of farmers have set out their, well, they grazed what they had intended for their second cut silage. You know, so on a lot of farms up to very, very recently, the winter fodder was an issue. So hopefully this fine weather will allow them to maybe grow that bit extra. I think beyond the farm gate, input costs are still, like, if we compare it to a couple of years ago, input costs on farms have gone up by 73%. Incomes are down by about 30%. So a lot of kind of challenges there in relation to input costs. The nitrates derogation is getting an awful lot of airtime. I saw figures this morning that if the nitrates derogation isn't held on to, that it could be a loss of up to €3 billion to the Irish economy. I think what's very important here in this whole debate is there's only one atmosphere, and we need to ensure that by reaching our targets, it doesn't mean that we have to reduce our production, and that countries that are far less carbon efficient producing food than we are, that they take up the slack. That will lead to carbon leakage, and, you know, that's what we want to avoid. As farmers, we need to try and be as carbon efficient as we can, but I do think, you know, given the fact that we're the most carbon efficient producers of dairy and beef, you know, in Europe and beyond, we need to continue to be able to produce that food.
And that was Joe Healy, chairperson of Cultivate Credit Union and a former IFA president. In other news, payments of €184 million under the Areas of Natural Constraints Scheme, the ANC, have started to be issued to farmers. Almost 90,000 farmers in the scheme will receive an 85% advance payment from this week, with the 15% balancing payment to follow in early December. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.